Talking today with the Honorable Governor of the state of Oklahoma, Kevin Stitt. Governor, thank you, first of all, for being with us today. And several things I wanted to talk to you about, but maybe top of mind is this latest news. You've got a big favorable vote in the state legislature for this package of incentives that you were seeking. Tell me about this story.
Absolutely. Well, first off, thanks for having me on and talking to all my friends across the state. This was a kind of a incentive package to attract one of the largest factories in the United States. And so we're really excited about it. We've got it about on the 1 yard line, and it's not totally completed yet, but we're still working with that company. But it'll be billions and billions worth of investments, thousands and thousands of direct jobs. And so we're really excited that it's also a new industry. And I've been trying to diversify our economy to make sure that we can take out any volatility in just the oil and gas industry. So we're really excited about it. And, Oklahoma's elected a businessman governor. And right now, it's just amazing what's going on in Oklahoma. We have the lowest unemployment in our state's history. We've got the largest savings account. I've got 2,000 fewer state employees than when I took office just a few years back. So I'm just excited about the momentum that we have right now in the state.
I know that that some of the negotiations I'm sure you've had and your leadership has had with this unnamed company at this point is, you know, availability of workers. I mean, how do we get that many workers up and ready for a company like that to be able to come to Oklahoma?
You're exactly right, Ron. You know, every company that is looking to move here and really every company that's located in Oklahoma right now, they constantly are telling me it's workforce, workforce, workforce. And so we've got a bunch of incentives together, a new program to be the number one workforce development state. I'm aligning career techs, Common Ed, and higher ed to work with industry and figure out what are the jobs that they need and what are the skill sets that they need, and then get that down started in Common Ed and get those guys ready for the workforce. And so anyway, we're excited about that. We're also investing in people that maybe have they think that the workforce has moved them by, and we've got a lot of programs at Career Tech. So anybody listening that wants to get retrained, we've got programs to retrain you for the jobs of tomorrow. And there's a lot of folks that maybe have been staying home with kids or taking care of an aging parent that are ready to get back in the workforce, and we want to help them do that. So we got a lot of programs at Career Tech for that as well.
I know a lot of other states obviously have that type of vocational education, career education, but Career Tech is I know it got to be a positive in your pitches to these type of organizations.
Absolutely. You know, these companies can take any of the manufacturing in their machines and they can work with their local Career Tech to get that pipeline of employees actually trained in exactly what they want. So our Career Techs do a great job of aligning there. And I just want young people to know we have about 50% of the kids coming out of high school go to college, higher ed, and we need more engineers and we need more nurses. But also, you know, plumbers, electricians, heat and air, all the skills, even, you know, 2-year associate engineering degrees. Boeing's hiring a lot of those folks. And so there are fantastic careers for every single young person. And we know that as you get older, you realize that God made everybody uniquely. And so I want those young people to have opportunities and know that, hey, if you don't want to go become an engineer, there are great jobs. For example, American Airlines, when I met with their executives, they've got 5,000 employees in Tulsa, and a starting salary for an AMP mechanic is $75,000 a year. It's just unbelievable. So I want more kids getting into AMP mechanics. Then they top out 7 years in, $130,000 is what American Airlines pays an AMP mechanic. And so it's just, there are fantastic jobs for every single person. However your design or whatever your skills are, there's great careers in Oklahoma. That's what my message to young people.
Let's switch gears, talk a little bit about situation we find ourselves with the McGirt case. I know that we've got some more arguments coming, in fact, I think even this week, in regards to this at the highest level in the courts. But, you know, give us maybe a status report on where you think we are in dealing with the McGirt decision and in negotiations and talks with the tribes.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first off, McGirt is, if it stays the way it is, it's disastrous for our state. And what I mean by that is we've lost the ability to enforce law and order in eastern Oklahoma if there's an Indian involved. And so, and then, you know, who's an Indian? I've got my Indian card. You know, we've got, you know, about 10% of our population has an Indian card, and there's no blood quantum. You could be 1/1000th, 1/2000th. And so law enforcement has a hard time telling who an Indian is, who is not. You can't really tell. And so basically what's happened is if there is a non-Indian that commits a crime against a native, the Indian can't get justice either, because the state's lost jurisdiction to prosecute that crime, and the tribes can't prosecute. So now it's a federal government issue. That's the question before the Supreme Court. They accepted to hear another case on that, and it's actually on Wednesday this week. I'm heading to Washington, D.C. today to be up there for that Supreme Court hearing. But we've got to be able to enforce law and order. Can you imagine if your car got stolen and the district attorney couldn't prosecute that crime? And that's what people in eastern Oklahoma are facing right now. And so I stand for law and order. I've got to make sure that we protect our citizens. And the McGirt case is making it extremely, extremely difficult to prosecute. Well, the state doesn't have the ability to prosecute those crimes, and so they're going unprosecuted. That's the problem.
Yeah, and of course the worry's always been that, you know, things like regulations and wildlife, waterways, all these things could be impacted by this McGirt decision as well. I know.
That's exactly right. I mean, if it gets into civil and taxation, you've got to remember we have 9,000 cases right now. Before the Oklahoma Tax Commission, where people are saying they don't owe taxes. And we have a chief in the eastern part of the state, the chief of the Cherokee, said, of course, Indians don't have to pay taxes if they live in eastern Oklahoma. Think about that for example. A CEO of a bank doesn't have to pay taxes, but a single mom of a different race has to. And yet the kids all go to the same high schools and we drive on the same roads. It's really preposterous to think about one race not having to do something to do and having an unequal, criminal prosecution system, tax system. Then you get into the civil arena and zoning requirements. And it's just unbelievable to think about. This is unlike any other state that's ever had to go through this.
One other area I wanted to talk with you today, Governor, western half of the state, especially about the western 2/3 of the state, really. We've got maybe 3/4 of Oklahoma now in moderate to extreme drought, exceptional drought. I'm assuming that you are keeping up with what's going on through ODAF, the Forestry Department, the wildfires we've had. Give me an idea of what you're contemplating about how the state may appropriately respond to helping these producers, these landowners out in these areas.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, you know, regarding the wildfires, anytime there's a wildfire, you know, I'm in constant contact with our emergency management group, and we've deployed some of our state assets, sending helicopters out there, and had several stories where they were able to protect, the fires from getting away and getting into different communities and destroying property. So excited about that. We've also got some ARPA plans, and I'm working with the federal government on some plans down in Altus for some more irrigation and some more water infrastructure. So excited about that. And yeah, we're obviously all over that. Would love to get a comprehensive water plan. We've got so much water in the eastern part of the state. If there's a way that we can continue just long term, continue to get some of that to the western part, that'd be great.
And I don't know if you have already thought of this, but have you contemplated maybe a call for a statewide day of prayer for drought busting rains?
No, that'd be great. Maybe I need to think about that. That'd be wonderful. We obviously believe in the power of prayer, and I know our farmers need the rain out there and ranchers, and so that may be. Maybe something. Let me consider that.
Okay. Thank you, Governor. Governor Kevin Stitt visiting with us today on the Oklahoma Farm Report. I'm Ron Hayes.